I don't think you just come out here this morning just to, you know, visit with Pastor Jake. You know, I'm a great guy. Well, anyway, I didn't even hear one amen there, so I was trying to promote the deal. Don't look like it's going to go far. Hallelujah. So anyway, we have an opportunity to hear the Word of God. The Word of God is alive, and the Word of God will change you if you can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And when we talk about the Spirit has to be on the Word. Amen? I remember as a young man being in the United States Navy, and I was over in Vietnam, and we were off the shores of Vietnam, a little concerned about, you know, what could happen if we were bombed or something like that, you know, sinking ships and different things like that. So I took some interest in the Bible, okay, because I knew there was something about the Bible. I was always kind of drawn to the Bible. And so I got a Bible. It was a living Bible. Was it a living Bible? Well, it should have been a living Bible, living at least. So anyway, I started reading, and I asked a guy that I thought was probably pretty spiritual, and he said, yeah, you should read Revelations. Okay, so I'm reading Revelations. Every night I'd go and I'd read these chapters, and it was really wild. It was like Star Wars or something, you know, the beasts coming out of here. And I'm going, this is the wildest thing I ever heard. I never did turn to the Gospels. I never did turn to Christ. But that was a wild book, that's all I got to say. And I'd read a little bit, and it made me feel good because I thought I was a little closer to God. Didn't know I was a child of God, but it did make me feel better. And then I could fall off to sleep and not worry about getting blown out of the water. So that was good. But you know what? Without the Spirit of the Lord, without the power of the Holy Spirit coming and talking to you and drawing you for the very first time, and you make that commitment to Christ, it's the Spirit. Amen. I mean, I tell you what, I had many opportunities, but when I took the opportunity, when it was strong enough, I was in high school, or I was in a high school gym in Detroit Lakes on Super Bowl Sunday, and that was my day. And it was very difficult because I just started a business, and you didn't really want to associate with God starting a business. You wish you really should. But it was a long walk down to the altar. And Lowell Lundstrom gave on Super Bowl Sunday for any reason why you're having evangelistic meetings on Super Bowl Sunday. But the call was there, and I went down. And when I went down, it was like a hook in my jaw. And I walked down there, and I stood there, and I heard a voice, and it was Adam. And he was about 3 years old, my oldest son. And he cried out, Daddy, Daddy, wait for me. And that was a real change in my life, thinking about, here my son is crying out for his dad. And we were talking about, he's a child of God, I'm a child of God. I was going to become a child of God that day, and my son wasn't going to miss out on it. And for all these years, he's walked with the Lord. Now, neither of us have walked perfectly, but we're not done yet with the whole walk. Amen? And so it's real important that we are led by the Spirit, and each day that it's a daily thing. You know, in the wilderness, when the manna came down from heaven, it was a daily thing. And if you gathered, if you said, well, I'm going to gather just on one day, and so I have enough meal for the whole week, it didn't work that way. It was a daily thing that took place. And if you gathered too much, over the weekend, you could gather enough for the 2 days so you get through the weekend. And, you know, God knew all this. I like that. And so in that thought, so you'd gather at that day, and the next day, and the next day would be food there for you. You really had to take a trust in God to say, well, I'm going to gather as much as I can, because what if God doesn't show up? Well, if you did that, your manna and your quail would turn to worms. And sometimes I think in Christianity, in the days that we're living, if we're a once a week, once a month, once a year Christian, I think a lot of the stuff, I gathered it all in one day. And you can't do that because God wants people that are walking by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? The evidence of things not seen. I cannot see my manna tomorrow. I know that my God is here for me today. And boy, if people would grab that throughout the earth, trusting in a God instead of a God of wood or a God that died 500-600 years ago, they would trust in the living God, the God that's alive, the God that gives us all our provisions. Amen? And so I'm so excited about what he's doing in 2016. It is the most exciting time on the face of the earth as far as I'm concerned. I mean, all of the stuff, you know, people are saying, well, it's end times. Well, praise the Lord. And you say, well, why would you get so excited about that? Because then it's the beginning times. Because it's an end to a dispensation of time, but it's a brand new time to live for Christ. In all of his power, in all of his glory, in all of his ways, we will be able to live for him. Amen? And where we go, he'll be with us, and he'll wipe away all of the tears, anything that the hurt and the some of the terrible things that we've went through. Not easy. We've been through tribulation. We've been through trials. We're tested, furiously tested sometimes. But you know what? The promise of a day-to-day God that is with us and that cares for us and saying, you're my child. Whatever we do, the shortcomings, you know, I'd mentioned last week, the shortcomings is you have to take one baby step to start fulfilling. And as Pastor Tom was talking about, you have to take a little bit of step. And Joel Osteen was preaching on the radio, and he talked about this guy that had smoked 3 packs of cigarettes for almost all of his life. And he wanted to quit, but he couldn't quit. He was hooked on them, and yet he still wanted to. And he started the journey by, he'd buy the 3 packs, he'd take 3 cigarettes out of that pack, and in 2 years' time, he was delivered. You see, because he had to be a willingness to obey. Amen? If you say, well, God, you can do this, and God, you can do that. Hey, he wants to see some action in your doing. And those 3 cigarettes, I mean, he had 2 packs, and I mean, that sounds like he had enough. But he made a move towards God, and God started making moves towards him. And you see, we have to move. The move of God is on. The wind is in the mulberry trees. I hear the wind, the glory of God, the rushing wind of the glory of God coming to his people. And it's a real deal. And you know, like when you begin to read small portions of the scripture, pretty soon they'll consume your life. Amen? And I love to right now, saying, okay, Lord, you go somewhere, they don't understand English, you don't understand the language they're speaking in, many times different languages in Africa or in Spanish in these countries. You go and you're going, well, God, if you don't show up, this is going to be a shipwreck or a train crash. But you know what? God has always showed up, and it's like fresh manna for that day. And you're trusting in an interpreter that, and sometimes my interpreters had never even spoken English. Now, you try that for a while. But you see, the Holy Spirit knows what's going on. And the Holy Spirit can enter in anywhere at any time and change the whole deal. And you know, we are really gifted. God has called us to be gifted people, and we were lining the gifts up with the fruit of the Spirit, right? That was a couple of weeks back. Do anyone remember that? Okay, the fruit of the Spirit, one, And I call the fruit of the Spirit is the whole package. Okay? Now, if you only want one portion of it, it will work a little bit. But I'd take the whole package if I was you. Now, it's different with the gifts of the Spirit, but not so much different. Because when you activate and go into fruit of the Spirit, which is, again, love. Yeah. Everyone wants love. Joy. Everyone wants joy. Peace. Oh, I want peace like a river. Long-suffering. Now, I don't know if I want long-suffering. That means I'm going to have to suffer a long time. I don't know. I think I'm going to kick that one out. Kindness. Honey, am I kind to you? Yes. Am I really? Are you lying to Jesus? No. All right. Well, you know, that did not come very easy, because when I first got saved, right before I got saved, I could tell you some things I did to Sandra that was very, very disappointing for a man to do stuff like that. And I didn't have that, but I certainly wanted it. And so God can change you. God can rearrange and take things so that you can be kind. I like that. Goodness. Everyone likes to be good. Faithfulness. 8 o'clock is when you show up at the job. I used to be so fussy. 8 o'clock, if they come at 10 after, I purposely left. Frank, I think you and me were kind of on that deal. When the guys didn't show up, we left. And they said, well, we were only 10 minutes late. Yeah, 10 minutes late for the ride that you needed to go to work. And really what it was faithfulness. And you know what? God does not like half faithfulness. You remember, I'm trying to remember the thought, partial obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. So if they're coming at 10 after, and if this is you, then you're obeying partially, which is disobedience. If they say 8 o'clock, they mean 8 o'clock. You say, well, that doesn't make any difference. I'll do it for the Lord, but I'm not going to do it for that person. So you keep on doing that, and pretty soon you find out that you lose your job because you were not obedient. You were obedient for 10 after, you know. And you always give people, you always give them the break. I just need one break. And you give them a break, and sometimes if they keep on breaking it and breaking the break, pretty soon they get broken, and they lose their job. And why I'm talking more about a job situation, how much has God spoke to us? And how he wants to pour out his gifts and his fruit of the Spirit upon us. Amen. Wow, he wants to do that. He wants to give us all of this stuff. Gentleness. Are you a gentle man? Yeah, I am to my old lady. Well, she becomes what you speak into the atmosphere. No. And we used to always, I mean, that was our thing. Yeah, my old lady said this. And it was so cool when I was unsaved. I don't know. I don't think I could have called my mother that. She was tough enough. She would, don't you ever call me an old lady. And so gentleness and self-control. Self-control. What is self-control? Now, if we started throwing these things out and you just ended up with love, joy, and peace, you say, yeah, I got the whole package. No, you just threw out six of the most important things that God wants to accomplish in your life. Because without those six fruit in the Spirit, you're not going to be able to access the gifts of God that are in 1 Corinthians 12. And give me a gift, give me a gift, give me a gift. The greatest gift that you could have was 9 spiritual gifts found in 1 Corinthians 12. Everyone's after the power. Well, the power's in the gift. But the character that carries it is in the fruit of the Spirit. So when you grab a hold of the fruit of the Spirit, say, I'm going to do all of those things. I mean, before Christ, I mean, I tell you, them fruit of the Spirit, I had none of them. I certainly didn't have love. I certainly was not peaceful. I certainly didn't have joy. I mean, I was not a morning person, per se. So don't say anything until 10 o'clock, and you might not get your head ate off, you know. There's just something that, you know, and things bothered me. Like people, when they ate cereal or something, and they went, just drive me crazy. And you know what? I didn't care. I mean, I didn't think God was working with me. I just said, hey, why are you such a pig? You know? You're a pig. What do you mean I'm a pig? Well, listen to yourself. Or this one used to really bother me. When a person would start sipping the coffee from down here, it was almost like, man, he's so wet. I said, come on, give me a break. It was just something about it. But after I got saved, I started, you know, it was several years later that I started applying it. But you know what? It bothered me so much. But then God said, well, maybe it's your problem. And that was the great revelation. Maybe it's your problem. Maybe you don't have to be so picky, or maybe you don't have to be all this, you know, because you're perfect. And I remember in Bible school, this was always a great deal. Okay, so you know everything. You're the teacher. And a student, they don't know anything. So I'm trying to correct them so that they could be better students and better Christians and do the things. And I started seeing in myself what I was correcting when I was correcting them. And that bothered me. And God just started saying, well, son, what you say in correction, are you doing the same thing? And so then I started, you know, kind of looking at it again, and it was fun. It was fun. But you know what? The fact is, I didn't go to the Galatians 5 and say, okay, these are the fruit of the Spirit, and then I'm going to memorize them, and I'm going to walk in them every day. You know what? Why not? Why not confess that you're a man that has love, or a woman that has peace and joy and long-suffering and self-control? I have self-control. Give me that pie, the whole pie. No, I have self-control. I'll eat only half of it. Well, if you used to eat, I mean, I'm making some progress. If you used to eat all of it, now I'm eating half of it. Praise the Lord. And so you have to start somewhere, and you start confessing. First of all, if you speak things that are negative and that will keep you back, you'll never do them. If that guy wouldn't have said, that was a God idea, and took three of those cigarettes and said, hey, I'm not going to smoke three of them cigarettes. He had three packs, minus three. But you know what? God looked at him and said, hey, son, you're trying. And you take one step towards God, and he'll rush you.
That's right.
He'll rush you by the Spirit. The first day that I believed, a month later, I was totally different. I couldn't even figure out what in the world happened. My guys said, you know, I used to be an elder at the VFW because I was there so much, and you know, and so I didn't go. I stopped because alcohol was one of my main problems. Now, some people maybe only have 2-3 drinks. That's not their main problem. But my main problem was alcohol. And so I found out that if you run with the chickens, you'll be a chicken, not an eagle. Right. And so I said, I have to stay away from there until I can become a witness. I remember one time I had this witness that I'd worked with this guy. I'm trying to think of his name. Remember his wife and he was actually a pole barn builder, and I come home all snapped up, you know, after going 6 months without drinking, And I come home crying. You remember that? But praise God. God healed her memory. Well, anyway, Bus Johnson. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, it was Bus Johnson. Old Bus, we were working up on a steel building, and we headed into Callaway. Got to Callaway, and there's a liquor store in Callaway. And they wanted to go into the liquor store, so I said, well, I don't want to go in there. Oh, come on in. It'll be all right. So I went in, and I was trying to be a witness, you know. And then they said, well, why don't you just have one? Man, and I was wanting one so bad. And I was in that environment. So I just said, okay, I'll have one. Well, there was five guys there. And so my one, I mean, almost immediately, I had five beers in front of me. And I was happy. I was happy because I said, well, maybe just this one time. Well, I drank those five beers, and, you know, I was going to have one and stayed till one, and got home, and I was feeling so bad, and I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning and go to Fargo to pour concrete on this crazy job, racquetball club. And so here's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm snapped, crying, and repenting to my wife. His wife, Bus Johnson's wife, was calling my wife saying, where is Bus? Because in 6 months, I had worked up a credibility that I would not go in that liquor store and get all snapped up. But I failed that time. But already, I had shown enough integrity that the wives figured that I wouldn't go and do that. So, of course, the next day I got up at 4:30 in the morning, and it was just a weird deal because we were pouring inside, and I didn't only have to stay there, I had to stay there for that whole day, all through the night, because the concrete wasn't setting up, and I was just kind of thinking, God, you really know how to knock me around, you know, and of course, maybe that was my wrong concept of God, but you know what? I called, I'm trying to think of her name. But anyway, and I said, hey, I'm sorry. But you know what? I lost the witness with that guy, and I was never able to witness to him again because I made the trip. Now, I'm not saying that I could have resisted. I could have said, I can make it through. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to go home to my wife and my family. But God didn't condemn me for it. He said, get up, son. Brush off your clothes and keep on walking. And maybe someone else got a hold of Bus. I don't know. Yeah. He had a lot of, but there were some things that were going on that I could have brought him to Christ. I would have said, I mean, if I could have got saved, I think anyone could have got saved. And definitely Bus. I'm trying to think of her name. But anyway, it's pretty important that we're obedient to God. He didn't ask us that we have to be faithful. He said, will you be obedient? And even in partial obedience, if you take one thing and when you're obedient to that one thing, it's going to be added to. Yes. And so, I mean, hey, what I was 3 or 6 months before that deal, I was drinking constantly every day, mean, spirited, no self-control. I hated people. In fact, I liked to get them mad so that I could deal with their madness. You know, I don't know. It was just something about getting people mad. Oh, now we got something going. And so this new concept, wow, what a great idea. What a wonderful idea that you could love. And just think of where I've been because the love of God, the wisdom of God come because I got a hold of the love for the world. God so loved the world that he saved Jake. And after that love, it got in my heart. Amen. Jesus lives in me. Now, it's not my strength. It's not my ability. It's Christ in me that changed me from that to this. Yes. And you know what? I'm real excited about being 80. That's not next week or next year. But I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about being 90, and I'm excited about being 100 if I live that long. Because every day that I live, if I could just say, God, you have the fruit of the Spirit, and you want me to flow in that so I can use your gifts. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are pretty cool. Now, we went through the word of wisdom. This thing lines up, and we went through this, but I think it's important to stay there for a while. You know, you can hear 100 sermons, but if them 100 sermons are just forgotten, sometimes I forget my own sermon. Terrible deal. By 2 o'clock in the afternoon after I eat or something and take a nap, you know, oh, I better go check my notes. What? Yeah. Uh-huh. This thing is living. God's word is alive. God is alive. God is alive. Jesus is alive. I am his son. And your daughters and sons of the Most High God. Wow. Word of wisdom comes when you begin to love like Jesus loves. And I started, I mean, there was a thousand things in the first year that God delivered me of. That was a word of wisdom. Just think of that. One area saying, God loves me so much that he gave up his only begotten son. I got the word of wisdom to get clean from alcohol, to get clean from cursing. I used to love to curse, and I used to love to tell dirty jokes. And I, you know, Donald Trump, me and Donald could have run the same deal, except I think I would have had him. You know, just, I actually practiced swearing, so it sounded real good. What else did I have? I mean, what else you do, you know? Practice swearing so you sound good. Learn dirty songs and little dirty songs. And you know, I still fight with them. You know, you're humming along. Oh, wait a minute. Who threw that in there? Yes, I've been saved for 2.5 years. No. Hallelujah. So the word of knowledge is joy. When someone comes up and say, you can do it, you can get out of that, praise the Lord, God's going to do something with you, I'm going to send you. I was on my first mission trip up to God's River 1 year after I gave my heart to Christ, and I've been back, well, I haven't been back for a couple of years, but those folks are very, very close to me. 35 years, faithfulness was worked in me because God is faithful. Amen. And if I was partial obedient and didn't go, then it was disobedience, right? And so we look at the word of knowledge brings great joy. Boy, when you go somewhere, isn't it dangerous? No. It's dangerous if you don't go, right? I mean, if God told you to go, you obey or you're in danger. You could be laying in your bed. You could be driving the car. Semi could run you right over. You never know. And so some of the places we go to looks dangerous, sounds dangerous, but they're not as dangerous as being disobedient. Because in obedience, God will take you home if that's the case, but he'll save your life time after time after time. And then you have something to talk about. Nothing worse to get 65 years old and you're not having experiences anymore, so you tell all the old stories. And it takes about 10 minutes, but then you tell them again, you tell them again, you tell them again. Pretty soon people say, I don't want to talk with him. I've heard all of the old stories. You know, if you're out making new stories, at least they're saying, that guy is a real storyteller. Hallelujah. It's changing. Faith is peace. When you have faith, or when you have peace, you have faith. Because before Christ, I didn't have any peace. Because I didn't have any faith. I couldn't flow in faith. I didn't believe in God per se, spirit-wise. After I gave my heart to Christ, then he started saying, well, how's your faith? Well, it was pretty good. In 3 weeks' time, he convinced me, the Holy Spirit convinced me, that I was going to heaven and not hell. 3 weeks. And that's a pretty big whopper if you're telling stories about, well, where are you going? Well, I'm not quite for sure. When they asked me that, I said, I'm going to heaven. Well, what do you mean you're going to heaven? Who told you you're going to heaven? Well, the Bible told me if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, then I'm going to be a child of the King. And then they said, well, you got spiritual pride. I said, well, it sure feels good. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep it too. Hallelujah. And so healings is long-suffering. Who wants to be long-suffering? Well, I'll tell you what, when you're sick, and what I like about a flu is when it's gone. Amen. But if I'm long-suffering and I say, I can get through this, Jesus, I can get through this, healing will come. See, healing won't come if you're just saying, that's why people don't believe in healing, is because the fruit of the Spirit is not evident in their life, so they can't reach into the healing. You say, well, I've been praying for a person for 100 years. Well, that's faith, and that's long-suffering. And you know, whatever goes on, God didn't say, you're God. He said, I'm God. I asked you to believe in healing, and it'll be long-suffering at times. Mentioned Frank. He had a miracle. His heart, 3 weeks ago, the guy is laying on a gurney ready to go into the operating room. All of his arteries in his body are shot, 5 of them, and wow, what's going to happen? And we had been battling because we were going to Central America and we had all of our tickets bought. And I started rebuking the devil. I said, devil, you get out of here. You get out of my mind. You get out of my home. You get out of my life. And I said, Frank will live and not die.
That's right.
And so that's the night before I'm taking off. I went up and seen Frank. Frank and myself have been together for ever almost. Pretty, well, you mean you're going to leave on a mission trip when your best friend or one of your best friends, you're my best friend, but I had to throw that in there. But I'm going to be obedient to God. And Frank expected me to be obedient to God. I went, he got healed. Or I should say a miracle happened. They took five needles out of his leg and put it up in his heart and got rid of all that stuff. I don't understand all that, but it's cool. Especially when you're alive, it's cool.
That's right.
But yet, Frank needed a healing too. Now, Frank, I think God's even talking to him that he really needs a healing. He's gonna be a changed man because he went through that. See, but if he wouldn't have went through it, he would have been dead in 6 months. So God showed him a favor that he was all plugged up, and if he would have lived another 6 months, he would have been dead and of course went to heaven. But now they give him 20, 30 years to live. Cool, I like it. God, you're so wonderful. Amen. Hallelujah. But he couldn't go out the next day and say, I'm going back to work. Now, Frank would have said, I'm going to go. I expected he probably was thinking about it when he woke up. Well, I better get up and go to work. His Redeemer lives also. And Frank needed a healing. And that leg, that whole leg deal, like, you know what? You get that taken out of you. You need to heal. And that heart needs to heal. And things need to heal. And it takes long suffering. You see what I'm saying? And these things work together, and I could go through all of it. It should take about a 5-hour deal there, because if you could get it up in your noggin and let that thing dribble down into your heart, I think that's the way it goes. It gets down in your heart, and your heart starts saying, I'm convinced that I can have all of those things, and I can walk in it. But it comes by the fruit of the Spirit first. And people like the fruit of the Spirit. They like hanging around people with the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is pretty cool. Self-control is wonderful, because when you lose self-control, you can be a real big jerk. And I've done a lot of concrete, and I'm always on the edge of losing my temper. And some of these guys, I've literally even swore almost. Well, I probably did. It wasn't even almost. Pastor Jake! Well, there's just something about that concrete that just drives me crazy, you know, and you get one shot at it, and then it's over. It gets hard, and it don't look good. I don't like that. But in self-control, I can fight that. And in self-control, the last one was the interpretation of tongues. Okay, well, what does that have to do with self-control? Well, if someone is speaking in another tongue, I'm wanting some self-control about that person speaking. I want to see how they've lived their lives. If you're going to give me a word, if someone's speaking in tongues and another person's giving a prophetic word, saying that that is what they're saying in their spiritual tongue, I want someone with self-control. Does that make sense? And so the nine meets the nine, and they marry together, and we become very powerful people. Is that all right? Amen. Very powerful, because we don't only have the fruit of the Spirit, we have the nine spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. Whoa.
That's right.
There's nothing that can stop you. You're the most powerful thing on the face of the earth. Political things can't stop you. Military can't stop you. Nothing can stop you. They cut your head off, you probably go and grab it and stick it back on and start preaching the eternal gospel of Jesus Christ. Who knows? That would freak out ISIS, I'm certainly. Wow! Did you see that guy? Let's do it again. Anyhow, he's good, isn't he? Hallelujah. How many people are sick in the room? Anyone sick? Have something wrong with them? If it's flu, we've got, okay, lung situations. We've got a young lady here. Okay, you know what, Tom?
Yes.
Pastor Tom, he is a pastor. Yes. Not too many pastors. You'd say, oh, everyone's a pastor. No, Tom's a pastor. I'm more apostolic. In fact, I just say, get up and you'll make it. Tell you some encouraging words. Pastor, would you go right over here? Hallelujah. Pastors love and care for the people. They look at sickness and saying, I don't want that sickness. If you're sick or if you want to stand in the gap, Danny, would you go with Brother Tom? If you're in any way, I want you to go over there. We're going to dismiss, but I'm just setting some things up. Salvation. Is everyone here, have you given your life to Christ? Like that first thing that I was talking about, or if you're backslid, let's say you did it one time and you didn't do it again. Pastor Jim, would you stand right over here? If that's you, we're not going to embarrass you, but Pastor Jim's going to be over here and he can lead you in a prayer of agreement that he would agree with you that salvation will come when you pray with this guy. And if you're backslid, go over to that guy. And when he prays for you, you get on the right area. Webster, would you come for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Joe, Toe, come. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and he also has the same color of tide. No, he doesn't. All right. And so here, if you want to be in... filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Oh, you speak in tongues. No, that's part of it. But you'll get wisdom from the Lord. You see visions and dreams.
Yes.
I mean, it's a real deal. So if that's you, I want you to come here. And Jeff, would you come and direct this? No, I got a prophetic line. Why don't you come here, Jeff? We will work here. All right. You know what's so good about this? Is when you have 300, 400, 500 people, when you have the body of Christ beginning to work together, you can do some very, very quick work of what's going on as far as praying for people. One person praying for people, that's a tough deal. Hallelujah. So we're just going to do this today, and we're right now in the name of Jesus, we got the... What happened to... all the music people, what did they leave us? Oh, I thought I heard something. Thanks, Dan, I appreciate that.